Blog Talk Radio.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, faith now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were.
Man.
As you're in prayer together, with other Christians that are able to hold you accountable. You got to be able to have somebody in your corner that can keep you level, that can hold you accountable in a Christian way, in a Christ-like way. And only God can send those people to you. Hallelujah. You have not because you ask not. I feel like someone was saying, well, no one's came to me. Hallelujah. You can draw from their strength. You need somebody in your corner. When you're weak, you draw from their strength. And vice versa. You draw from their experiences. And you get to share your experiences with others also. Hallelujah. You get to together search the pages of scriptures to discover new places in God's word. I'll tell you, this is some exciting stuff right here. I'm telling you. Try it. It's all evangelism. It don't sound exciting. So try it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. I used to say, God, show me what that means. I know what that means. The Lord is good. Get into the word. It's just like eating a buffet. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Ask him to reveal that to you. Hallelujah. Most of all, you got to be willing to take the trip and grow in your relationship with God. You got to be willing to take out the time to build a relationship with God. You'll be surprised at what awaits you around the next corner. Just like in Paris, you go around the next corner, it's like, wow, look at this bistro. Wow, look at this. Hidden cafe just for me. You'll be surprised what awaits you just around the corner. When you are willing to take the time to grow a relationship with God. Growing in God. Have you ever wondered how to grow in your faith? These are the answers. Now you have the answers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to take and go back and just where we was at. We're going to go to 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. It says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because to him be the glory, both now and forevermore. The word doesn't change, both now and forevermore. To him be the glory. While we're there, let's just go to 1 Peter. Back up. Back it up a little bit just to the left. We're going to go to 1 Peter, and we're going to go to chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 2. Read, it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. So that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like newborn babies, they crave milk. You should also, as a newborn babe in Christ, you should be craving pure spiritual milk. So that by it you may grow up in your salvation. By it that you may now taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You've got to, if you're used to listening to videos that are of the world, if you're used to going to the club and dancing, whatever it is, you can't just keep saying, well, I'm still just going to do that, but now I got this here, I got God in me, I have a new refound love for him. I know you have to start to separate yourself from those things. And you have to take out time and, again, want to develop a relationship with him. And if you want to develop and grow in God, you must now start, may not happen overnight, but you must now start dedicating some time to him, seeking him first, before you do anything else. If you're hooked on TV, you're a couch potato, before you turn the TV on, make a dedication that you're going to say a prayer before you turn it on. Whatever length that the Spirit leads you to. Then once you turn it on, make sure that you turn it on a word channel before you turn it on anything else. Turn it on a word channel. make sure that you can sit there at least 5 minutes. That's all I'll ask you. 5 minutes with the word on. And don't just have it on, but be determined that that 5 minutes, you're going to hear something from the Lord. Something is going to be said that you're going to hear. Write it down. Be prepared to get something out of this 5 minutes. Then you turn to what you was wanting to watch. You watch. If it's something that is out of connection with God, your spirit should start to begin to kind of quiver. You shouldn't be able to enjoy it after a while. You're not going to be able to enjoy it as much as you were before. As time goes on, you're going to see that this is something that is pulling on my spirit. Hallelujah. And before you turn that TV off, do the same thing that you started on. Turn it back on the word. Turn it back to the word. Sit there at least 5 minutes with the word. Be determined again that you're going to get something out of this word from the Lord. Then you can now ready, you're now ready to turn off your TV. You're now ready to turn off your TV. Do the same thing if it's your radio. Maybe it's your radio that you like to jam to. Maybe you like to, you know, to do that. Maybe you know that it's something else that, that those things is getting in your spirit. Now, you just love, you know, it was that, oh, I don't really listen to the curse words or to the derogatory words. I just like to be. But you do have to understand, and I know that you know in your spirit, some of you do. If you don't, please learn as of now. That the more you listen to it, it was the beat that drew you to it. That's just how Satan got you to that table. Now that you're there, he's going to finally convince you, why not eat of the food? It's here in front of you, why not eat? So in other words, the beat is good, so why not go ahead and you say it? Let me see how you can sound with it with the beat. You put the lyrics, let me hear you repeat the lyrics. And if you're not saying them out loud in your heart, you're still saying them. You're still saying them. So let's not be fooled. Let's not be fooled. Hallelujah. If it's your radio, turn on K-Love before you get started. Listen to 5 minutes of K-Love. Then turn to yours. Listen to 5 minutes of K-Love before you get out of your car. So if you know you're 5 minutes away from your destination, you need to go in and turn your channel, whether you're in the midst of your song or not. You need to go in and turn it to K-Love. Because you know in 5 minutes you're going to be at your destination getting out of your car. So don't get hooked up in it. You've got to be determined that I don't care how involved I am in this song, how much I love this jam, I'm going to take some time and give this here back. I'm trying to get more into just as much as I love jamming there. I'm trying to learn how to love jamming with the Lord just as much. But believe me, you'll never be just as much. You're going to go way overboard. Once you're jamming with the Lord, it's a feeling that you never have experienced. It's nothing that the world could offer you to imagine or even measure up to what you're feeling when you get a true jam with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, you ain't got to believe me. Try it. Try it for yourself. But evangelist fine wouldn't lie to you. I'm telling you. The word of God is not going to change. It's not just for me, it's for you and you and you and you. While we're in 1 Peter, let's look at 1 Peter 24. It says, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the fields, the flowers of the fields. All men are like grass. Can you imagine that? Now, all of their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers. Everybody saw grass wither. The flowers fall. You saw flowers fall and fade. But the word of the Lord stands, what? Forever. The word of the Lord stands forever. So what I tell you about turning your TV and your radio to God before and after, giving him the first of it, leaving off with him on your mind, on your TV set, on your radio, his word says seek him first. And we just read that the word says that his word stands forever. We are like grass. we're going to wither. Our flowers will fall and fade. We fall, we fade. But God's word stands forever. You can trust it. You can believe it. You can rely on it. You can stand on it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So be willing to take that extra step to develop a relationship with the Lord. You got to be willing. Got to be excited about it. Let's look at Colossians 1, 9, and 10. Chapter 1, reading verse 9 through 10. Hallelujah. Read. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Verse 10, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." 11 says, "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." Hallelujah. You know God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. 13 says, and he says, "It brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God cares for us. He's willing. He's wanting a deeper relationship with us. He's just waiting on you, patiently in line. He said the answer is right here. I never would just leave you alone. I inspired my word. Through man, I gave them the inspiration, the word to put my word down for you, that you can have it. He said, but still, that's just not enough. I left the Holy Spirit here with you. I'm still leaving even a bigger part of me here. So you got me. You got a sword to fight your battles. Then he tells us the battle is not even ours. I'll fight it for you. Just stand still. Let me use your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, the truly, James 1 and 25 says, "But the truly happy people are those who carefully study God's perfect law." Those that make people, the perfect law makes people free. Gives you freedom. Jesus died for our freedom. How do we get happy? How do we get freedom? It said the truly happy people are those who carefully study God's perfect law that makes people free. And they continue to study it. Not just reading it, but studying it, carefully studying it, and continuing to study it, asking God to reveal what he needs you to have while you're studying it. What is it that you need me to learn out of this lesson? What is it that's going to draw me closer to you? How am I going to be able to grow closer to you in this word? Let me not just be reading some scriptures, but let me be studying and continue to study how to change my life. How to grow closer to you. It says they do not forget what they have heard. They don't just read and then drop their seed and the birds come and swoop it up and gone, as the parable speaks of. They don't just read it and forget what they heard. But they obey what God's teaching says. They walk in the word. Those who do this will be made happy. Those who do this will be made happy. Hallelujah. Those who do this will be made happy. Let's look at another translation. Hallelujah. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit saying, give him another translation. He wants you to understand this. He wants your children to grow on this. It says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continue to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So the word tells us when we study, when we continue to study, hallelujah, continue to study. When we do not, we study so much that we hold on to what we're reading. We start walking in what we're reading. He said that man will be blessed in whatever he does. We're all looking for our blessings. We're looking for our ways to grow. On the 30-day New Believer Study, day 4, part 2, we just found answers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the answers. The answers are where? In the Word. Now, for the more in-depth study, let's go ahead and turn to Philippians 1 and 6. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Philippians 1 and 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'm sorry, we went James, so let's go back. Let's go to the left. Let's travel back to the left. We're looking at Philippians, which comes right after Ephesians. So we were in Colossians. Let's go right past Colossians. The neighbors is Ephesians, is Philippians. So if you're at Colossians, still go left. If you're at Ephesians, turn around and go right. Let's go ahead and park for a minute and get out. We're going to go at chapter 1, verse 6. It reads, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, sister, he who began a good work in you, brother, he who began a good work in you, Sister Tommy, hallelujah, may be out of a job now, but be confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He's not through with you yet. That pain's not going to destroy you. Losing your job is not going to destroy you. I feel like you've had perfect credit all of your life. It's not getting ready to destroy you because you've lost your job, because you got hurt on the job and they're refusing to do anything to give you medical. God has the last say, and it's not over yet. And he says you should take Philippians 1 and 6 and write it up on the wall to be confident that he who has started a good work in you, hallelujah, he began a good work in you. He will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to find that in the, let me just find that in another version here for you and read that for you. One moment. 1 and 6. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. We're reading. God began doing a good work in you, and I am sure he will continue it until it is finished when Jesus Christ comes again. When Jesus Christ comes again. This was a prayer that Paul was praying to the Philippians. This is a prayer that Jesus is talking directly to you. Hallelujah. Let's take Psalms. New Testament, 32 and 8. New Testament. Remember, just Psalms is kind of like in the middle. Maybe a little less than half, but it's considered. Proverbs, I guess, would really probably be the middle. Let's go to Psalms 32 and 8. And remember, the scriptures, it's good to write them down so you can go back on them. I give a lot of scripture because I preach from the Word. I teach from the Word. The word is scriptures and verses. That's what it is. It's books, scriptures, and verses. So I teach from the word. I give parables about the real life or how we're living in real life to compare it up to the word. But I teach from the word. So let's make sure that we always have a pen and paper so we can write down. I don't want you to just take my word. That's why we try to make sure that you understand where to find the books. Which direction to go? Don't be ashamed because you're not for sure where this book is or where. Why do you think they have a table of contents? If you need to refer to it, go to your table of contents and refer to it. Okay? We try to put a little liveliness into it. That's just my spirit of driving you there in the direction. But however you need to get there, just get to the word. You'll find yourself that you'll remember Psalms, middle of my Bible. You'll find yourself Philippians, in between Ephesians and Colossians. Revelation, last book in the New Testament. Genesis, first book in the Old Testament, the Tanakh. Hallelujah. Matthew, first book of the New Testament. Hallelujah. Psalms 32 and 8. Read, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. So, it's young believers, old believers, how are we going to grow? How are we going to grow in our faith? How? How do we grow in our faith? He just told us in Psalms 32 and 8. He said, I will teach you, I will instruct you in the ways that you should go. I will counsel you, and I will watch over you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Growth is the goal of Christians. That's our goal. Maturity is a mandatory. You must continue to mature in God. You would not have your 5-year-old child still not mature and acting like a 2-month-old baby or a 5-month-old baby. If the child is supposed to be on a normal level, but on a 5-year-old level, maybe that's a better word for it. We have special exceptions. But I'm talking about if they're meeting all the other criteria, you would want them still hanging around with no maturity of a 5-year-old. They're still acting like 5 months. You would, as far as forgiving it and getting over things. You wouldn't want that 5-year-old to still be talking about, but I failed once when I was a baby, or somebody pushed me down when I was 1. I can't get over that, so I can't live my 5-year-old years because I'm still hung up on 1-year-olds. Growing in God, you got to grow and know when to step over and leave things in your past. Shake the dust from your feet and move on. So why do you think it's acceptable to be 20, 30, 40, 50 years old and you're still hung up from what somebody did to you when you was 15, 10, 5? Some things you don't even remember that happened to you, but you've heard, people have always told you about it. So you just feel, well, they're mad about it. I guess I'm supposed to be mad about it. They say it was such a horrible thing, so I guess I'm supposed to think what a horrible thing. A horrible person had to be the one to do it to me. What a horrible thing. I'm just hung up. I can't move forward. I can't enjoy being 40 because I'm stuck at 14. Something bad happened to me at 14. I can't get over it. I can't get past it. Life ain't worth living. My body's still growing old. Everything around me is still growing and changing. And I'm stuck. So when my employer can't understand why I can't be productive on the job, because they thinking they hired a 40-year-old. Really, they hired a 14-year-old and a 40-year-old body. Get over it already. How are we going to do that? We got to take out time every day to draw closer to the Lord. Every day to draw closer to God. How are you going to do it? He said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. I'm not going to leave you out here by yourself. Hallelujah. You've got to be willing to come. If a child ceases to develop, you as parents will be concerned. So when you cease to develop, to mature, to get over things, our father, your parent, is concerned. He sends people your way. He sends people to talk to you, to tell you, to help you. But you still don't seem to move. Our Father is concerned for you. Hallelujah. You would get very concerned with your child. 15 and now they're acting 5. Now they can't get over something that happened at 5. Doctors would be called in. You make sure that they run all kind of different tests. Because when a child stops growing, something is wrong. So when you stop growing in Christ, something is wrong. If you've been going to church 10 years and you still haven't missed a weekend in the bar, in the club, something is wrong. Get over it already. You're still smoking weed. Now you're smoking it with your child, reminiscing about the 70s and the hippie days. Something is wrong. Not only are you still a drunk, now you're buying liquor for your kids and for the kids who's not old enough to have it. All they got to do is stand outside of the liquor store because they know that you're going to come along and you're going to buy it for them. Something is wrong. Then you hide behind verses like, we all fall short. Something is wrong. You're not growing. You haven't experienced growth in your life. You're stuck. Where is your growth? What happened? Reading the Word and living the Word, two totally different things. I believe that God has a special plan for each of us, and He connects us on purpose with different people at different times, but it's all for His purpose. This was especially made clear when we look at the time when the angel delivered the news to Mary that she would give birth to the Son of God, and that her cousin Elizabeth had conceived a child in her old age. When you read that passage over and over again, you start to realize some purpose in it. You start to be fascinated by Mary's immediate response to the news. Let's just refresh the verse in our mind. Luke 1:39 and 40 says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste and to a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. Hallelujah. Now, I can see the earnestness in the young virgin girl. She wants to connect with someone who's had a similar assignment. Even though Judah was quite a distance away from her home in Nazareth, Mary seemed compelled to connect with Elizabeth. The Bible tells us that Mary went to the hill country with haste. H-A-S-T-E, which means she went with speed. She went with zeal. She went with diligently. Diligent. She went with earnestness. Hallelujah. Her actions clearly demonstrated her commitment to fulfill her assignment. What are your actions demonstrating? How diligent are you? How much zeal are you putting into the work of God? How much zeal and speed are you putting into spending time with Him? Hallelujah. You're cheating God if you can get up every morning and go to work and get there on time. Sick, not sick, but you can't get to the house of the Lord because you don't feel like it, because you're tired. You can't get to your prayer closet because somebody called and said they was asked could they come over, and you just didn't want to tell them no. You tell them, yes, between this time and this time, but this is my time with the Lord this particular time. I don't receive company during that time because that's my time with the Lord. Now, if you want to bring them over, and we're all getting into this together, but you still need your separate time with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Although the Bible didn't actually record what Mary actually said when she saluted Elizabeth, I'm not for sure what she said, but God has revealed His purpose for Mary. She was determined to run for it. But when she saluted Elizabeth on that historic day, we do know that the effects of those anointed words on Elizabeth and the baby in her womb over 2,000 years ago. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutations of Mary, it said the baby leaped in her room, in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Hallelujah. And which in this is this to mean, that the mother of the Lord should come to me? She says, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears," the scripture says, she said, "the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there should be a performance of those things which was told her from the Lord." That's Luke 1:41-45. We started in Luke 1:39-40. Let me get you to Luke. Luke is New Testament. Luke was a physician. Matthew, Mark, Luke. So that's going to be the third book in the New Testament. And then we was looking at, started chapter 1. We did 39 and 40. And then we did 41 through 45. Go through the story. Look at the zeal. Look at the zest that Mary has. Notice that the moment Mary opened her mouth, the power of God just exploded in that house. And both Elizabeth and her unborn baby was just filled with the Holy Spirit. Bold, anointed words were unleashed into the earth through Mary. And Elizabeth that day, that supernatural propelled them forward, by God, of course, to fulfill His plan. His plan for their lives. Elizabeth carrying John the Baptist, Mary carrying Jesus. Both God had a plan for them. They had a plan to carry out. They were connected by God on purpose. Why? For His purpose. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul was definitely connected by God on purpose to the church in Rome for God's purpose. He was compelled to get with them in order to make a deposit in their lives. You know, but it didn't stop there. Paul also expected to personally benefit when his faith connected with their faith. The faith connected. Romans 1:11-12 tells us. He wrote, For I long to see you, one of Paul's letters. Paul was a writer, of course. That I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be confronted, that I may be comforted, together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. He was looking for comfort also. He found comfort with the Romans. Again, let's look in Romans 1, 11, and 12. Let's read a different translation right here for you. Okay, again, Romans, New Testament, right after Acts. So we'll go, if you're at Acts, just go on up the street just a little bit. Going right. We'll get to Romans. We're doing Romans 1. Excuse me. Romans 1, verse 11. Verse 11 says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest amongst you, just as I have had amongst the other Gentiles. He said, I'm obligated both to the Greeks and the non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. This is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I'm eager to preach the gospel to all. God's word is for all. You have a chance to grow. I have a chance to grow. We don't get so filled with the Holy Ghost that we know it all. And I know you run into people like that. Even in the churches, just holy, holy, holy. Don't need anymore. They feel like they got it all. I can tell you the whole thing. God told me this. God showed me this. God this. But then they can't get it together in some areas of their life too. We are not God. We're God's creation. Thank you, Jesus. We're God's creation. So we all have room to grow because we're spiritually connected for the purpose of the kingdom. For the purpose of the kingdom. Throughout the Bible, we can see God's pattern of connecting people together for his purpose. Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elijah. Co-pastor says. Others may say Elijah and Elisha. Peter and Cornelius, connected together. Paul and Barnabas, connections. Many other accomplished amazing things because they were connected by God. Although some were together for a lifetime, while others were only connected for a season. And that's the way it is in your life. Some people are there for a lifetime. Some people are just there for a season. Some people that came into your life and did some destructive things and went right on out. They were there just for you to learn something out of that. However destructive it was for you, it was something of that you needed to learn. It may have been a choice that you made, and you had to go through the learning process of that. But after you learn that lesson, you're able to turn around and say, thank you. Thank you for the lesson that you taught me. If I hadn't never met you and went through all the things that I went through with you, I would not have learned how to do this, stand on my own. I wouldn't have learned how to pray. I wouldn't have learned how to give it all over to God. I wouldn't have learned that God could bring me through the fire if I never had to be tempted to be thrown in the fire. Hallelujah. 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 Seasons. It's clear to me that divine connections must be recognized. Divine connections must be honored. Divine connections hear me now, must be nurtured. Must be nurtured. Divine connection. Have you ever noticed that it's impossible to receive from someone that you just do not honor, that you do not respect? It's impossible to receive from them. However, when you value a relationship, your heart is open to what they have to say. You're able to learn from their life and be nurtured in the things of God. I've heard a friend once say that God would not reveal something directly to you that he has already revealed to someone that you're in covenant with. Now, give an honor to those that God has connected to your life will position you to hear what God is saying to you through them and will empower you to get where you need to go. Your pastor should be just hitting the notes, the things that are going on in your life. You shouldn't even have to even tell him any longer what it is that you need to, that your needs are. He just, God, from God's ear, he gives it to your pastor. Pastor just brings it back over the pulpit and right back to you. The same things that you and God were talking about. Pastor is giving out the answers through the word. Whew, hallelujah. 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 In order to see the fulfillment of the dream that God has placed in your heart, you will need to recognize and honor those that God will use to nurture you spiritually. Just as Mary knew that she had to connect with Elizabeth. And Paul recognized his connection with the Romans, with the Roman church. You will need to recognize others that are moving in faith, and then you got to hook up with them. That's why it's important for you, if when you find your brook, that God tells you, this is where I want you to sit. This is the leader I want you to sit under. This is the church I need you to get in and start working. Start being let someone nourish you. That's why it's important to be obedient. Forget about what the flesh wants. The God says again, remember, he said, if you want to follow me, then deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. That means deny your flesh when it says, I don't feel like going to church today. I went last Sunday. I went twice today already. But the Holy Spirit is still nudging at you to go. Remember, deny yourself. You still got that bad habit, you ain't broke. Take up your cross and follow God. Because your head, the one that's over you, God is speaking through them. Could be the answers that you've been praying for. Coming right from the pulpit. Hallelujah. Mother may just walk up to you and just give you something that you needed. A brother just may come up to shake your hand and be revealed of some words that he's supposed to tell you that change your life, that blow your mind. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So that's exactly what happened between Elijah and a very rich man and influential woman from Shunem. The woman that the Shunammite woman saw Elijah, she received that he was a holy man of God in 2 Kings, Old Testament, chapter 4, verse 9. She didn't just invite him in to stop and eat bread. She constrained him. That means that she laid hold of him and insisted that he allow her to bless him. Not only did she feed him every chance that she got, she talked her husband into building an extra room on the house to make him comfortable while traveling through her town. Anytime he came through, he could stay there. I believe that God moved upon her heart to meet the needs of this servant, Elijah. He knew his servant needed somewhere to rest his head anytime he traveled through there. And he didn't need his servant worried about where am I going to sleep or eat. So he moved up on this lady's heart, and she moved up on her husband's heart to build him a room. Can you imagine that? So she's telling him, build this man a room so whenever he comes through here, he's a part of the family. He gets to stay here. By being a blessing to Elijah, the Shunammite woman was really honoring God who anointed him. Hallelujah. According to Proverbs chapter 3, when anyone honors God with their giving, they're destined for overflow. Again, Proverbs, right after Psalms, New Testament, chapter 3, 9 and 10, in the Amplified, reads, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiencies from righteous labors and with the first fruit of all your income. So shall you store, your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. New wine. The divine connection proved to be beneficial for her and Elijah. She was propelled into position to receive anything that she needed from God. Not only did she give birth to a son after being barren, now that she's doing this for God through the prophet Elijah, this woman was barren. Now she gives birth to a son. That same child was raised from the dead. That same child. Many years later, Elijah raised him from the dead. That ain't all, y'all. In addition, she received supernatural restoration and increase after abandoning her property during the 7 years of famine that came up on her homeland. That's in 2 Kings, Old Testament, chapter 8, 1 through 6. And when everyone else in the land was flat busted, guess what? You guessed it. Her storage places was filled with plenty. She lived in overflow, just like Proverbs 3, 9 just told us. Sometimes things go wrong in life because of bad connection. We got to be connected with the right people, with the right folks. Bad connections can block the flow of God's power. Maybe that's what's going on in your life. Maybe you have bad connections. So instead of blaming God, why not allow him to fix it? Once you connect with God, he will help you identify things that need to be corrected or disconnected. God can help you resolve issues that have kept you in bondage for far too long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You got to find your faith connectors, those that's going to be connected with you in faith. See, no one in their right mind would ever register to attend a How to Stay Broke friendship. Come here. No one will ever do it. How to Stay Broke relationship. Meet here Thursday nights, 2 o'clock. How to Stay Sick. How to Stay Disgusted. How to Stay Depressed conference. 3-day weekend. Come, come. Come one, come all. No one will attend. No one in their right mind. However, when you only connect with people that seem content to live that way, it will affect your progress. People who are content to live sick. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm so sick. You know, my mama had arthritis, and now I got it worse than her. You know, my back's messed up, too. You've heard them complain to you. If it wasn't for no bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Maybe you need to let your luck go and get a blessing. You know, I don't even know how I'm still walking around. I'm messed up. Everything's hurting. I hurt from the time I get up to the time I lay down. Wow. Really? Really? You telling me throughout your 24-hour day, there's no time in that day that you're not in pain? But I can see you still sitting right here drinking? Are you still not getting up and trying to move around? You're sitting right here backbiting everyone? But you can sit and dictate how you think everything in church should be ran? What? You need a faith connector. You got a bad connector. You may be the bad connection. Hallelujah. Can't say amen to ouch. However, instead of being motivated to grow up in God, if you're hanging with the bad connection, they're not going to give you any motivation to grow in God. They don't have any of them stuff to give. Don't have any to give. So you begin to settle for less than God's best. Less than God's best in your life. And you start to give up on your dreams. And you think of dreams as that's just something that, you know, stupid dreams. This is why it's so important to surround yourself with faith connectors. You start to just settle for any old man. Any old woman. At least I got a woman. Yeah, she's crazy. She do me wrong. Yeah, he's this and he ain't worth nothing, but at least I got a man. You start settling for relationships. Yeah, I know he's married and I know she's married. I know that they only borrow money from me, and they never pay me back. I know every time that I hear from them, it's because they want something. But at least I'm in their presence. At least I'm with them. Does that sound familiar? You were bad connectors. Or you are a bad connection. Hallelujah. God bless. God bless. You need faith connectors. It's very important to surround yourself with faith connectors, people that will lift you to a higher level in God. So don't waste your time on people that can't help you get where you want to go. The best way that I can illustrate this point is with the little story that, short little story. It was two girls, and they lived on different sides of the river. One of the girls had lived on the river for a long time. The other girl had just moved there. And they would come to each side of the river, and they would just talk and back and forth across the river to each other. Well, one day, the little girl who had just moved there decided she wanted to get to the other side and physically be over there with the little girl. And she yelled over there and to the little girl, said, "How do I get to the other side?" The little girl said, "You're already on the other side." You see, don't hook up with people that don't get it. She just didn't get it. She didn't get what the little girl was trying to do. Don't hook up with people that don't get it. You may know someone that has spent their entire life in church, and they're still clueless about how to cross over into a higher level of receiving from God. Clueless. Have spent their whole life in church. Let them get sick, and they'll curse you out. Step on their shoe, they will curse you out. Cut them off in traffic, they will fight you. Have no idea, clueless, about how to get to the next level in Christ. Remember that wrong connections are designed by the devil to stop God's power. Let's say that. To stop God's power. He puts wrong connections in your life to stop God's power. Our objective got to be that even though they have been in our life for a season, we're going to learn from it and keep going. Shake the dust and keep going. We cannot let it stop God's power. One more time. We will not let the enemy stop God's power by putting bad connectors in our lives. We want to continue to grow in God. See, if you're broke, you don't need to hook up with someone who molds their theology from a bad financial experience. that they may have had. You know, I had this, and this went down. That's why I don't even do this no more because, you know, somebody's always trying to keep me down. I had this. I had this. So what? You failed. Get back up and have it again. Is it making sense to you? Is it clicking? Instead of finding yourself hanging out with people like that, find faith connectors, those that understand that the principles of prosperity, that have fruit growing in their lives. You look at them and say, I want to be under that. I want that. Not a drug dealer who's stealing and trying to kill somebody, selling them something poison to kill them in order that he may be rich. But somebody who's a godly person, who understands the principles of reaping and of sowing and reaping, lending. Someone that has the fruit growing already in their life. The same principle is true if you need healing in your body. Sister Tammy and all of those that are in need of healing, I encourage you that instead of constantly defending your belief about God's power to heal, well, Sister Tammy, why are you still sick? And your response is, yeah, I know. God's going to heal me. I'm just waiting on my healing, sister. I'm just waiting on my healing. So instead of constantly defending your belief about God's power to heal, why not surround yourself with people that speak encouraging, faith-filled words about divine healing into your life? It's amazing how much easier it is to believe God when you're not constantly pulled into the wrong direction with words of doubt. You know, I saw somebody else who had that same illness. They never got no better. This happened to them. That happened to them. Get away from that. Shake the dust from your feet. You've been pulled in the wrong direction. You don't need to be sitting around people with going in a direction of doubt. Storing doubt up in your mind. Go pray for somebody else that's already hasn't believed for their healing yet. Tell them, I'm already believing for my healing. Let me pray for you to believe in yours. Let me get busy trying to pray for these here over here. Because I'm taking my mind off of my sickness. I'm taking my mind off of my situation of no job. I'm over here now praying for the ones who are homeless. I'm praying for the ones who not only have lost their job and are sick, but now they're homeless. Hallelujah. Now they've lost their sight. They lost their leg. Hallelujah. Speaking to his protege, Timothy, Paul wrote again. He says in 2 Timothy 1, 5, and 6, New Testament, he's writing to Timothy. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwells first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that in these also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. 2 Timothy 1, 5, and 6. So one more translation of it, okay? Right after First Timothy. And 5 and 6. It says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of your hands. For God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and of a self-discipline. Sound mind. Hallelujah. So in our closing, the word stir up in the verse is translated, and the Amplified Bible is rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, to keep burning. Paul was actually telling Timothy to get fired up about his assignment. I tell you, to get fired up about growing in God. Get fired up about your healing. Get fired up about your deliverance. Get fired up about your new position. And when the overflow, get fired up that your kids is going to overflow and be touched. They're going to get a bigger position. They're going to block an illness from coming that they don't even ask about. They don't even have to ask for healing because they're going to be in great health. Because of the overflow. Because of what you've been through. Because when the devil have to pay you back seven times and sevenfold, that's going to touch your children, their children. And generations down. Get excited about it. Paul knew about the opposition Timothy faced when he wrote the letter to rekindle his flame. He had a great heritage of faith and was ordained by Paul to do the work of the ministry. This powerful word of encouragement not only inspired Timothy to keep burning for Jesus, it also ignited all those that were under his leadership. In fact, those same anointed words are still flinging sparks today. Sparks today in your life, in your child's life. God's desire to connect you with others that are connected to Him in order to propel you towards your dream, your growth in God. You can expect that He puts in your life people that's going to speak life-giving words. That will always stimulate you, encourage you, stir you up with positive filled words. Be determined to surround yourself with your faith connectors. Get fired up about your assignment. God has a great purpose for your life. Get fired up. Get fired up. And if you don't know the Lord today, I invite you to come meet the greatest friend you're ever going to need in life. Start your growth right now. Right now with the Lord. By just getting fired up. Just follow me, just the word. Repeat after me. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of all of my sins. Right now, invite Him. I don't care where you're at. Invite Him into your heart. I can start over. Someone is wanting me to wait. Here we go again. Jesus, just call Him. Come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask You to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in You right now. I believe that You are the Son of God and that You died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank You for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that Your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And now I receive You as my Savior and Lord. In Your name I pray, amen. If you just prayed this prayer, congratulations. Your slate has been wiped clean. You're now a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Get rejoiced. Get excited about it. Behold, all things are become new. I would love to hear of your decision to follow Christ. You can send me an email at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can reach me here at the Blog Talk Radio / Evangelist Vaughn, V-O-N, Dumas, D as in David, U-M-E-S. Until we meet again, remember, God loves you. He's waiting for you to grow. He has so much for you to do. He has so much love for you. He don't want to leave you like He found you. So much love for you. In day 5 of the 30-day New Believer Study, we're going to be doing the Bible, God's scrapbook. The Bible, God's scrapbook. wondered if God's word is any more than a bunch of good stories? God's scrapbook, day 5. That's what we're going to read about. That's what we're going to learn about. There's so much knowledge that you can take from tonight. Just take it bite by bite. You'll get there. Step by step, you will get there. You'll get there. God bless you and keep you. Don't forget to rate the show. Don't forget to rate the show. And give me a song about Jesus. Don't forget. 5 minutes before your TV show. 5 minutes before your radio.
Come on. Give me a song about Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He is the light of the world. Let it remind me that all that I see is not all it will be. But how will I know if there's no song about Jesus?
song about Jesus. Don't forget, take out some time to rate the show. Don't forget, get in touch with me. My heart is overjoyed. I sent out several Bibles this last week, and it's just a blessing just to be able to send out Bibles to you. Get in touch with me. I'll be more than happy to send it. I do the postage for it. I have some tracts to send to you. Anything that will help you on your walk. God bless you and keep you until we meet again. Hallelujah. Just continue to grow.